that played at Sukkot. They were kind of came out of the same place.
Shabbat Shalom.
Okay. Let's get forward here. Anybody get that water? Can I? Can you bring one? Anthony, could you bring one of those? Hand me the one that's open already there. Yeah, thank you so much. And that little gray thing there too would be great. We're live. Is it live or is it Memorex? It's live. Hallelujah. We're live in the hive. Let's just hope that whatever caused that power to go out up there doesn't cause anything else to go out. All right. Shabbat Shalom. Okay. Wait a second, I've got a tune here. Carol? All right. All right. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Let's do that again. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. Hallelujah. A little more in the monitors.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, Shalom. Shabbat, 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 Shalom.
Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Zay Israel, O Rav Simcha, O Rav Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Yom Zay Israel, O Rav Simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Hey, hallelujah.
This day for Israel,
up here.
This day for Israel. Day for Israel, build us by God. It's day for Israel, build us by God. Build me by joy. Sabbath of Israel.
Anthony, the blessing of the Messiah, please.
Rukatat and I will hang you, Melech, Ha'olam, Asher Natan, Larek, how you do it, Derek, how Yeshua, Mashiach, Yeshua, Amen. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Folks watching, we apologize for everyone here, and our screen is down today. So we have no words written, but we have them in the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Actually, you can turn to Matovu. If you follow the in your Siddur, the purple Siddur, Matovu is in there, and you can look in the index in the front where it is. It would be in the Saturday morning service. Okay, we can begin.
I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker, and as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Let's pray. Let's sing Pray for Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, pray for Jerusalem, that there'll be peace, not war. For God will bless them that love her. So for the sake of the city of our God, we pray for Jerusalem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem.
Let's bow our heads. Israel's on the verge of war. I don't know, they may have started, war may have begun. It's actually began by the Palestinians shooting rockets into Israel. That is an act of war. They've been shooting rockets they have non-stopped. I was riding a bus into Gaza in 2005, 2003, and a rocket landed in a field about 200 yards from the bus, And the bus swerved and shook, and I heard an explosion, and I thought a tire went out. And I asked the guide, I said, "Do we have a tire blowout?" He said, "No, that was a rocket. It landed in the field." That was 2003, and the rockets have never stopped. But Israel gave the land back in Gaza. They gave it, didn't give it back. They gave it to the Palestinians. And what did they get in return for giving the Palestinians the land in Gaza, which didn't belong to them? They got rockets. That's what they got. So right now, there's more tanks that have ever been amassed on the Gaza border. The Palestinians have been, Hamas and the Palestinians have been lobbing rockets, and one almost hit Tel Aviv the other day. Benjamin Netanyahu has warned them that he's going to hit them very, very hard, harder than ever, I believe. So I believe war appears to be imminent. So let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. We pray, Shalu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalu, Shalom, Kol Yisrael. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all Israel, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of your people Israel in the land and out of the land, in the nations and in the land of Israel. Lord, I pray that as war appears imminent, Lord, I pray for a hedge of protection around those Israeli soldiers, Lord, those kids, 20, 18 years old, 19, 20, 21, 28-year-old colonels and captains, 30-year-old, 35-year-old generals, 40-year-old leaders, Lord, just young people going into battle, Lord, and with booby traps and tunnels and mines and bombs and things waiting for them. I pray, Lord, for your protection. Lord, I pray that the rockets of the Palestinian, of the Hamas, of the enemy against Israel, that their rockets would fall in the sea, that they would fall in the desert, that they would fall in the wilderness. I pray that they would blow up on the launch pads. I pray that they wouldn't blow up at all, some of them. Lord, I pray that if they have suicide vests, that they would blow themselves up, Lord. Let their guns not fire. Let their weapons of warfare fail in their hands, I pray. I just pray that Israel cleans out this roach nest that's attacking them constantly, Lord. You have to be there, and I've been there 15 times. You have to be there to see and to know what's going on. To be down in a town of Sderot when you have 15 seconds to get to a bomb shelter when the siren goes off. You have 15 seconds to get into a shelter. And how horrifying and scary it is to live on that border. And so many people do. Lord, we just thank you that you saved them. I pray, Lord, today also for my mom. I thank you for the chance to visit with her. I pray for her salvation, Lord. I pray that you would bring shalom in her heart and an awareness of sin and atonement, that you would give her an awareness that of the need for blood atonement, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for all my family, that you open their eyes, Lord, because they're lost and they need Yeshua. They need salvation. They need forgiveness of sins. They need coverings. I pray for my sister Molly, my brother Mark, my sister Barbara and their families. I thank you, Lord, that you saved them. You promised me you'd save them. And I pray for all my Jewish friends and all our Jewish friends, Lord, for the salvation of the Jewish people in the diaspora. I pray for the Messianic community today, Lord, for the rabbis, that you'd give them boldness and courage to speak the word and truth and spirit. I pray that you'd give them utterance, Lord, and that they would not hold back and be afraid. Let us fear no man, Lord, as we speak. And I thank you, Father, for these things. And I pray in the name of Yeshua that you give Israel the victory and give us, pray for our president as well, that you give him the victory and all that he puts his hands to, Lord. God bless America. Bless our president, Lord. Bless the work of his hands. And I pray that the people would see to stand, to quote the the crazy rapper Kanye West, that I wouldn't listen to his music, but he said something very profound. He said, He said, if we support this man, we can get things done. If we fight him, we won't. So I pray that America would support our president so we can get things done. And because they're going to get done anyway, whether people fight him or not. So I pray they would work with him. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Servant of the Lord.
Yes.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Okay, we're going to sing a song, but the next thing we'll be doing is on page 47 after this song.
Avinu.
Malkeinu.
Maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hands,
of your hands.
You loved us so,
you sent your Son
to take our sin
and shame.
Our
Avinu, Malkeinu,
Maker of all
things,
ruling all the
works of your hands,
you loved us so,
you sent your Son
to take our sin and shame.
Please rise for the Shema on page 47 in your purple siddur. Hallelujah. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam va'ed, v'yahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher nochim etzivcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta baham b'shivdecha b'veitecha ובלכתך בדרך, ובשכפך, ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידך, והיו לטוטפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך, ובשעריך.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and let them be a frontlet between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Okay, I'm going to, as we sing Micha Mocha, I'm going to ask Isaac and William to come up and let Isaac carry the Torah and William to help him, and Anthony to open the ark, please. Mi chamocha.
Oh, Bahima, Adonai.
Page 52.
Mi chamocha, Nedar Bakodesh. No.
The oldest hymn in the world. Pretty cool, huh? And the answer to that is Ein Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai Ve'ein Kamasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim Umimsheltecha Bechol Dor Vador Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Leolam Vahed Adonai Oz Liamo Yitain Adonai yivarech et amo b'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. There is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Hallelujah. We're going to process with the Torah. Hang on, guys. Okay, there you go. Nema tovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Nema tovu manayim. Shevet achim gam yachad, hine ma tov. Shevet achim gam yachad, hine ma tov. Shevet achim gam yachad, hine ma tov umanayim. Shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu, shevet achim gam yachad. Hine ma tovu manayim. Shevet achim gam yachad, hine ma tovu manayim. Shevet achim gam yachad, hine ma tov, hine ma tov. Lai la 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 la, hine ma tov, hine ma tov. La 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 la. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is. For brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. In unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. Unity, to dwell in unity. La 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 la. La la shofar blowers. Ron, why don't you carry it? Let Ron carry it. Just hold both sides. Hold both from the bottom. Israel, my Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. My Israel, my Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu. Hallelujah. Vayehi ben Soharon, vayomer Moshe. Kuma Adonai, viyafutsu oivecha, viyanusu misanecha mipanecha, ki mitzion tetze tohura, ki mitzion tetze tohura, udvar Adonai, Yerushalayim, baruch shenatan Torah, Torah. Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, the Amo Yisrael, Bikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch hu et Adonai Hamavora.
Baruch Adonai Hamavorah.
Page 65. Baruch Adonai Baruch Adonai. Eloheinu melech haolam, asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et torato, baruch atah Adonai, noten ha'torah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen.
You can be seated. Okay, today's Torah portion is from Genesis chapter 12 and through chapter 17. The half Torah is Isaiah 40, verse 47 through chapter 41, verse 16. And today's Torah portion is named, the parasha is Lech Lecha, and it means to get yourself out. And actually, God is saying something a little, may have a deeper meaning than that, but it's about Abraham. You know, last week, Abraham was in last week's Torah portion at the end of it, and it was basically just an introduction to him. And he was already married to his wife Sarah. They had no children. And actually, that part of the scriptures was maybe more about his father than actually about him. But today, this Torah portion is about this man named Avram, is what his name was. He was the first patriarch. God didn't change his name for several years. And you know, a name is very important. Names in the Torah are not placed in, or just by accident. They're not fillers. Like when I was a kid, I used to put a lot of these and in and commas and stuff when you had to write so many words. God just doesn't fill up space just to be doing it. A name has a particular meaning. And what God is telling us today, I believe, with this Lech Lecha, is to go to yourself. And you know, to go means to be connected. The Torah is God's word that we connect to him through. And it means, and you know, God's purpose for us deep in our soul is to connect with God, to find God and have that fellowship with him. That is what God is, I think, telling Abraham when he says Lech Lecha. He's saying, go into yourself and find me and worship me, for I am the one true God. And that's what Abraham's mission, I think, in life was. When he left the country called Ur of the Chaldees, it was to spread the name of God. That's what it was about. Because back then, everybody worshipped everything. There wasn't one God. And Abraham found the one God when God spoke to him and called him out. And he told him, he says, go to a place that I will show you. And if you know, if you believe it or not, God has a place for you if you will let him show you. That's what he's telling Abraham. Go to a place that I will show you. And he tells him to do some things. He tells him to take his wife, Sarah, and her name gets changed later on in the scriptures. He says, take your possessions, and when you go, I will make of you a great nation. You will become a great nation. So he did what God said, except for one thing. He disobeyed God. The first thing God asked him to do, he didn't follow through completely. He took his nephew by the name of Lot. He took him with him. And if you're familiar with the scriptures, read them, you know later on, Lot has a little bit to do with what's going on and causes some problems. But he took Lot with him, and they get to the land of Cana, which was the promised land. You know, actually, you know, when they got there, God is telling him that this land that I'm giving you is going to be for your descendants, that they will inherit the land. And so Abraham wasn't real sure how that was going to happen. And again, he doubted God because he didn't have any children. And he knew that his wife Sarah was barren. She could not have a child. And so he doubted what God was telling him. His faith had to increase as he went along. So God ends up, they go to Egypt. And the trip to Egypt is really, it's a spiritual descent, because Abraham, once he gets there, he tells a story about Sarah. If you read it, you know that Pharaoh took her into his home, and a lot of things caused him problems. And Abraham finally owns up and says, well, she's actually my wife and not my sister. So he asks him to leave, and he gives him a lot of riches, just like the Exodus. Pharaoh gives riches to Abraham and also to Lot. Now, Lot didn't really think about leaving because he was getting sort of pampered down there, and he didn't really maybe want to leave, but he left with Abraham because, after all, that was his uncle, and he went back with him. And so it was a spiritual descent for Abraham to go to Egypt, because it was a place where he had to increase his faith in God, to trust God more. And so on the way out, after he gives him all these possessions, Pharaoh gives him one of his maidservants by the name of Hagar. And again, that was would change the history of Israel. Because years later, when Abraham can't have any children, Sarah gives him Hagar to be a child bearer, and she gives birth to a son that's named Ishmael. And that actually was the first child that Abraham had. But there was a little bit of resentment there. You know, it happened, you know, God had been walking, or Abraham had been with God for about 13 years before he ever changed his name from Avram. His name actually was Avram, not Abraham. It was Avram. And God added the Hebrew letter He to his name, and he became Avraham, which is his name in Hebrew means father of a multitude. And he changed Sarah, S-A-R-A-I, to Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. And her name in Hebrew means a princess. She was a very beautiful lady, but she was in quite a few years on before that that she gave birth. But God told them that he would give them a son. And she thought that was pretty comical because she was way past what you would consider childbearing years. And so she laughs, and behold, she does become pregnant, and she does give birth to a son, and they name him Isaac, which is laughter, or to laugh. So it was quite a trip there. But during all this, Abraham builds three altars. Just to close, I want to mention this. He built three altars, and the altars, I think, represent a relationship with God that we have. And maybe we all need to build three altars ourselves. But the first altar he built was for his relationship to God. He wanted to be thankful for the children that he had at that time, and for his sustenance that God had given him. Because after all, they labored out into the desert and the wilderness. So the first altar was an altar of thankfulness for what God had done and what God had given him. The second altar that he built was the altar of repentance, because we all sin, and when we repent, we are restored. And when we repent and come back to God, it is a charge to us to develop a deeper relationship with him, because we have sinned and moved ourselves from the presence of God. And when he lets us come back through repentance, our relationship should be deeper because of the fact he has forgiven us of our misdeeds. The third altar that Abraham built was an altar that glorified God. And I think this altar was one that was speaking of the messianic reign that Yeshua would be, that we will attain in that period of time when Yeshua reigns for 1,000 years. I think we will obtain a level of consciousness about our relationship to God and to Yeshua that we'll never have before, but it will occur in that relationship because our faith will give way to our sight. You won't have to believe in something you've never seen, because that's your faith. You haven't seen Yeshua, you haven't seen God, but we have faith in them and the atoning blood of Yeshua. But when the messianic reign occurs, I think our consciousness of God and Yeshua will be far greater, because we no longer will need our faith, because we will be able to see with our eyesights what they actually look like and be involved with. So it's going to be a different experience. And so that is the Torah portion for today. Shabbat Shalom.
Somebody's coming through the wall. You can go ahead and get it.
Come on, Carol. Okay. Vitzu ta Torah
asher sam Moshe lifnei bnei Israel al pi Adonai Yad Moshe
And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands.
Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated.
Etzchaim hi l'mozit ima v'tomcheha merusha derakeha l'reinoam v'kol nativoteha shalom ashineinu Adonai
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. Please be seated. Okay, we're going to have announcements, and we're going to have our offering. I want to thank, first of all, I want to just take a moment to thank everybody who ran the service last week. While I went to visit my mother, I watched. It was a great service, I thought. I enjoyed it. It sounded good. A couple times the mics went out, but, you know, we have technical difficulties. That's the peril of live television. Amen. It's pretty cool to be in Boston or wherever I was. I was in Allentown, Pennsylvania, watching the service in Allentown, Pennsylvania. That's where I was. So and it was just like I was there. I had a great morning and day watching. And so anyway, I want to thank you. Thank Anthony and Carol and Diane and everyone else. Xavier did a great job on the camera. Let's give it up for Xavier. He did a great job on the camera last week. Amen. And so everybody who helped, I appreciate it. I want to give thank you. Thank you for those who, the quiet, the silent people, like, you know, people who take out, like William takes out the trash every week. And no, he doesn't. He just comes and does it. And I want to thank William for doing that. And people who do the little things that we don't see, that get done. Margaret cleans for us every week, and she cleans our synagogue. And she needs a ride, and I can't give her a ride because I'm a man, and she lives over in Rice Terrace, and I don't give single women rides. She has your number. You've called her. She doesn't want it. She just doesn't seem to want to come. That's okay. Well, that's at least she knows, and she has the opportunity to come. But anyway, I want to thank the Lord for Vicky. She's our administrator, and she does all the bulletins and the newsletters and things. She puts those together. I write them. She puts them together. And it's been had a good visit with Mom in Boston. Actually, had a very peaceful visit. Isaac, did we have a good visit, Josh? And we didn't get to go to the playoff game. We were hoping to go to one of those Red Sox playoff games. But we actually tried to buy tickets three times for the Thursday night game. It was game five. There was no game five because the Red Sox sewed it up in four games. And they're going to the World Series. Amen. So we didn't get to go. We were going to sit in the grandstand, and we were going to go to the American League playoffs, Eastern Conference playoffs, but we didn't get to go. Anyway, so we had a good time anyway. Grandma, we took Grandma to the Auto Museum, or she took us, I'm not really sure. And we drove her. But anyway, and then we went to the beautiful, you know, the oldest auto museum in the world, in the United States, is in Brookline, Massachusetts. It's called Lars Anderson Auto Museum. Lars Anderson. And you can look up Lars Anderson. He's an interesting character from the 19th century. And he was a wealthy, he's one of those Vanderbilt types, and very wealthy families. And he had a car collection. It's still there. And not only that, they bring in new shows. So they had a collection of hot rods from the 50s and 60s while we were there. So I've got pictures of them. I didn't send them out to you all because I don't want to clog up your phones. But I've got a lot of pictures. And we had a good time with Mom. And she's been amazing. My mother's a miracle. She's been in hospice since June of 2017. Most people go into hospice and they say goodbye within a day to 3 weeks. Amen? She's been in hospice since June of 2017. So she got mad at me because I said, you're going to outlive us all. And she said, you just want my money. And I said, no, I hadn't even thought of that. I just said, if you look at your children, you know, one has diabetes and has had quintuple bypass. Another child has had a stroke, heart attack. Another one's had cancer twice and a congenital heart problem. And the fourth one is having her health issues. And I said, you're going to outlive us all. And she got offended with that. And at least she's still feisty. Amen? As long as she's feisty, that's right. The, you know, and as long as she has her sanity. So that's what matters to me. But so we had a good trip to Boston. You guys had a good service. Did you enjoy Pastor Coy?
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I'm glad. And he's a sweet man, isn't he?
Very, very good.
He's a sweet man. And I'm just writing out my tithe while I'm talking to you because I don't have time. So anyway, Dawn is flying today, so I want to pray for her. She's flying to Memphis from Newark this evening, so I want to pray for safe travel with this weather. Father, we just want to lift up Dawn and our Rebbetzin. We thank you, Lord, that for the gift you've given her to fly jets, and we thank you, Lord, that she's flying tonight and that you give your angels charge over her. Keep her safe and let her flight be uneventful. Let it be smooth and let her bring her home safely, Lord, from all her trips this week. I pray in the name of Yeshua, Lord, give your angels charge over and keep her safe, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, we bind the enemy. Amen. You know, I was talking to Dawn yesterday, and, you know, she's a first officer, and first officers have responsibilities and captains have responsibilities. And yesterday she went to the airport and the captain was late. So she had to do the captain's job. And there's a lot of, you have to, it takes like an, well, first of all, you have to know what the captain does. That's number one. Number two, it takes about 45 minutes to an hour to do the captain's job and the first officer's job. She did it all. And I said, I've been telling her. I said, you're going to be a captain before the first of the year. You're going to be a captain, and I really believe that God is preparing her to be a captain. She was already a captain on a propeller plane, but on a twin turbo Saab, back when they used to fly prop planes between here and Charlotte and here in Washington and stuff like that, you know. Now they fly jets. So anyway, but she's really something else. Our Rebbetzin is quite a pilot. I'm just bragging on her. So we're going to have a Hanukkah service on Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th at 7 p.m. We'll have our Hanukkah service. If you miss Sukkot, for those of you watching, and those of you who are here, if you missed Sukkot, you have a second chance. Hanukkah was actually Sukkot. The reason they couldn't celebrate it at Sukkot was because the Syrians had laid siege to Israel and to Jerusalem in the temple. And since the Syrians laid siege and forbade the Jews from reading their Bible and from celebrating their feasts, they couldn't have their holiday. So when the Jews took back the temple 3 months later in the month of Kislev in your biblical calendar, the month of Kislev, which, and if you look in John 10:22, here's one for folks who are new. If you look in John 10:22, it says Jesus was walking in Solomon's portico, and it was winter time, and it was the Feast of Dedication. In John 10:22, the Feast of Dedication, if you look in your notes, says Hanukkah. Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. Okay? And your English Bibles won't tell you that because they say the Feast of Dedication, because they don't want you to celebrate Hanukkah. They just want you to read right through that. Oh yeah, Jesus celebrated the Feast of Dedication. You know, he celebrated Hanukkah. And what was Hanukkah? It was Sukkot, celebrated 3 months later. Do you know, Hezekiah had a Passover, and because the priests weren't consecrated, the people's heart was right. They wanted to celebrate the feast, but because the priests weren't consecrated, the Levitical priests weren't consecrated, God let them do it a month later. So they celebrated it a month late, and God let them. So that's known as the second Passover. And if you read the story of King Hezekiah, you'll see that he celebrated a Passover a month late. So there was grace in the Old Covenant. There was grace in the Old Testament. There wasn't an indwelling of the Holy Spirit and salvation. People didn't know Yeshua the way we do, but some did. I mean, you can't tell me David wasn't saved. You can't tell me. He says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Can't tell me that Abraham didn't know the Lord, you know? Moses knew God face to face. You know, it just was, it's a mystery. Some people seem, you know, Bible says we're going to sit at the table with them, with the patriarchs. The Bible says in the New Testament, we're going to sit at the table. So if we're going to sit at the table with the patriarchs, they had to know the Lord, right? Amen? Amen. So anyway, so we have a Hanukkah service on December 7th. And if you miss Sukkot, which is, and I've taught on this. I taught all about this for weeks, about how Jew and Gentile, the pattern of revival is when Jews and non-Jews, Christians and Messianic Jews come together celebrating a Jewish feast. And if you read the Bible, if you read the Second Chronicles 7, the dedication of the temple, if you read Nehemiah, the dedication of the wall. If you read about Pentecost, you had Jews and non-Jews. You had a biblical feast. You had Jerusalem. Amen? And you had unity. We had worship, and the glory of God fell. When they did it, when they did everything according to the pattern that God gave them, the glory of God fell. Well, the glory today is when we come together. Yeshua said that one day, a day is coming and now is, when people will not worship me just in Jerusalem, but in all parts of the earth. So now we can come together here in Bristol, Virginia, as Jew and Messianic Jew and Messianic non-Jew Christian, whatever you want to call yourself, you know, And we can come together and celebrate God's feast together in unity. And who knows, I really believe one day the glory is going to fall. I really believe it. And I think the glory did fall. I think our feast, I enjoyed Sukkot, the presence of God was strong. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Presence of God was powerful. But, you know, he wants to do so much more if we would come together. If the church and the Messianic Jewish community would come together, God wants to do so much more. Amen. And in his, according to his pattern. Amen? All right. So we still have calendars available. If anybody's looking to get one, they're $15. We just have about a dozen left out there. So if you don't have a calendar for this year, get yourself one. They're all out on the table. They're great gifts for the holidays. Teach your friends. You can teach them. Again, today's message about the calendar is that Hanukkah is in the winter, was the Feast of Dedication, John 10:22. And that's Kislev 25 in your biblical calendar. Kislev 25 is Hanukkah. So Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. All right. So we're going to take our tithes and offerings. at this time, and I'm going to ask, while I write mine, I'm going to ask Mr. Anthony to come up and pray over the offerings. Would you do that, brother? Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Shabbat, Lord, that we can come and rest in thee, Lord, and really get rest and push the rest of the day in the world, the past week away, Lord, and just be here to worship you, Lord. We thank you that we have, you've given us the opportunity to support the ministry here, Lord, with the giving of the tithes and offerings and also the building fund, Lord. We pray that we'll be able to repair and finish the work that's here to be done, Lord. We ask that you bless gift and giver, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, Lord, that you will bless us for bringing our tithes and offerings, Lord, if you've commanded us to do. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Anthony. I just want to say, Anthony mentioned the building fund. Yes, thank you for supporting the building fund. All we have to do, we haven't had a drop of water. We've spent close to $5,000 putting in drainage in the ground behind the building, behind the fellowship hall. But we still have to put down flooring, and we have to rebuild the whole wall. See these walls here? Behind these walls, if you tore these plaster walls down, you'd have brick. You'd hit brick, okay? That's the way it is over there. It's all torn out, ripped out, and we have to rebuild the walls. So please pray that for God to help finish it. Please pray so that we can get our fellowship hall back. And number one. Number two, if you can give to support the building fund, please give and help us so that we can raise the money to help pay the cost of putting down the flooring. I'm estimating probably $3,000, $3,500 to fix the wall and the carpet, or put down linoleum sheeting, you know. Anyway, so let me go over here and get my base, and we'll take up our tithes. Hang on one sec, Carol. Oh, by the way, I'm going to have, Terry and I are going to have some worship at my house tonight, just some informal worship in my living room. If anybody wants to come, just see me afterward, and we're going to have some prayer and worship at my house, and just prayer, so probably about 7:30, if anybody's interested, just let me know afterward, okay? So Terry is in town till tomorrow, and we had a great time last night. We played in my living room. We did worship together, and we had a good time. So we're going to sing our offertory, How Great Is Our God.
Of the King,
let's bring our offerings.
Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands.
is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great.
Continue with our worship. Before we continue with our worship, I just want to say, you can turn that down a little. I just want to say something. The splendor of our King is wonderful. Hallelujah. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Lord, have mercy. Well, I'll think of it again. Lord, bring it back to me. I want to pray over this projector's not working. Father, we just pray over the projector, and we just pray that you show us what the problem is, that it's just a breaker, and that you would fix it, Lord, and help us to find the problem today and fix our projector, Lord. In the name of Yeshua, just want to pray over that projector right now. Lord, fix it and show us what the problem is. Help fix the problem with the guitar so that Terry can play and hear. And take care of these sound issues, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. All right. We're going to head into worship now. Praise and worship.
It was the Lord who summoned Abram to a land he did not know. Said to you and your disciples, my favor I will show. I'll be your strength, I'll be your shield, I'll be the one who walks beside you, and through you I will bless all the families of the earth. The God of Abraham, he is the living God, he is the saving God, and I will praise him, for he has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to of Abraham. He is the living God, he is the saving God, and I will praise him, for he has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word.
Take now your only son, your Isaac, the one I've given thee, and go ascend to my
Mount Moriah and offer him to me.
And so my faith went forth, trusting in the great provider, the one who gave the lamb. We share the faith of
faithful today.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. He is faithful. Thank you, Lord. You are the God who heals us and blesses us. Thank you. And are we doing hallelujah? If we are, I don't have it. Are we doing come let us go? What are we doing?
He's got it.
I got it now. What are we doing? Oh, okay, I've got it. Come on, guys, get up and praise him. Praise him with the tambourine. Praise him with your hand. Praise him with the cymbal. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the drum and flute. Praise him with your heart. Hallelujah. the presence of the Lord. Come on, Diane, go lead them around Jericho March. Let's go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Go join Diane. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. You have come to the living God. You have come to the heavenly city, New Jerusalem. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone.
We have a shofar.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord.
Come, let us go up to Zion.
Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the presence of the Lord. And there are thousands and thousands of angels rejoicing before the throne. This is the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Worship God alone. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let us draw near to the Lord our God. Come, let us go up to Zion. Let's keep it going because we got another one coming. Joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand. It's lifted high, the Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. Joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous.
righteous of the Lord. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand has lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things for us. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high. The Lord's right hand reigns on high.
Woo! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine.
Yeshua is my name.
come in this place. Show your mercy and your grace. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, come.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Did you enjoy that worship? Amen. Give the Lord praise. I enjoyed it. I can't find my coffee. Anybody see my coffee cup out there? It's in the second row. William, is my coffee cup there in the row in front of you? Yeah. Would you mind bringing that over? Thank you. How's your knees? Your ankle. Arms. Oh, we'll have to pray for you. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Is that working? Praise God. You put it on my belt, son. Well, my wife's probably going to kill me because I said she was going to be a captain and she's watching this morning. I love you, Dawn. I love you. I got roses for you and chocolates and I washed the dishes. I fed the boys. At least I tried to. So go easy on me when you come home. Praise God. You saw me feed them? Thank you, brother. I fed you too. Praise God. Terry came over for dinner last night. Terry's wife, Anna, is her daughter-in-law is having a baby. Did they have the baby yet? Okay. So last night the water broke and we had let the show begin. When the water breaks, that's when the show starts. Literally, that's the medical term for it, the show. And then labor comes next, and we're waiting for that baby. So she's down in Miami. So we just want to pray, Lord, for a healthy baby. And Lord, we pray for a healthy baby and a healthy, uneventful delivery. Lord, we pray for a beautiful, healthy baby and nothing broken, nothing lost. And pray for the mama that she's strong and able to go through the labor. Comes out with flying colors, Lord, with strength. I pray, Lord, for a safe trip home for Anna. And pray for Terry as he anxiously awaits news. And as a bachelor myself, I know what it's like to be on your own. So pray for Terry as well. Hear all the help he needs. Amen. And I pray for William, Lord. We pray, let's just lift up William. We pray for William's ankle. And what? Your heel. You stepped on it, or? As if plantar fasciitis? Okay. Well, I just pray for healing for William, Lord, and if it's plantar fasciitis, Lord, we just pray for you heal it and help him to find relief. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. We're going to go to the Lord's table now, and I'm going to ask Brenda and Sharon if they would come and serve today. Let's see if my headset works. Let's try this. Is it on there? Test 1, 2. Oh my gosh, it's working. Praise God. All right. I want to tell you, well, I'll tell you another story later, but it's kind of a funny story. I'll save it for later. All right. Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri HaGafen Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, and Yeshua, who is the true vine. Amen. Where's the bread? Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal. At that Passover, and he took the cup of redemption, which we take at every Passover meal. And it's the cup, the Bible says in Luke 22, called the cup taken after the meal. It's referred to. I'm a little bit boomy here. So he said, this cup is the new covenant, the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness. Now I'm a little soft. Of sin. That's good. Okay. And then he took the bread and he said, there's three pieces of bread on every Passover table that nobody eats, okay? And it waits till the meal. And after the meal, they take the middle piece and they break it into pieces, small pieces, and give it to everybody at the table, okay? And the Jewish people take that little piece, they call it afikomen, or in Greek it's afikomen, and they take it and they distribute it. Each person takes a little piece of the matzah, of the unleavened bread, and then they take it with the third cup together, and the Jews call it dessert. That's what they call it. They call it dessert. But for us, Yeshua said, this is my body given for you. And of the fruit of the vine, he said, this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sin. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sin. So he forever changed the meaning of Passover. And I can't tell you how excited I was, because for probably 30 years of my life, I celebrated Passover. And I always, we looked back to Moses and what God did for the children of Israel thousands of years ago. As I always sat there for 4 hours at a Passover meal, 4 hours. I said, what is this? I mean, the food was good, but what has this got to do with me? We'd sit there reading the story, and Josh, I'd be like, what has this got to do with me, you know? And then when I found out that Yeshua lifted the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, and this bread is my body given for you, I said, wow, now redemption is about me. It's personal. It's about you. Everyone who drinks the cup, everyone who believes, it's not that the cup is really his blood, it represents his blood. It's not that the bread is his body, it represents his body. He was explaining to us, this is what This is what I'm going to do for you. This represents me. Believe in me. Whoever believes in me, confesses me with his lips, shall be saved. Amen? Whoever confesses with his mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead shall be saved. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm saved. Are you saved? Let's all say it. I'm saved. Man, if the world could only catch that one. Amen? If they could only catch hold of that one, I'm saved. Man, it's, you know, whew. So let's bow our heads and pray. If there's anybody here today that doesn't know Yeshua, the Bible says, if you're watching on TV, the Bible says Yeshua is the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins and mine. Incredibly, he rose from the dead on the third day, conquering the power of sin and death. If you have been watching this service and you feel the presence of God and you want to meet Yeshua, if you've never met Yeshua and you'd like to meet him now, just pray with me now. Let's just close our eyes and let's pray together. Dear God, I want to meet this Yeshua. Yeshua, I want to meet you. I want to know you. Come into my life. I invite you and wash me of my sins, because I've made mistakes. I've broken your laws. I haven't read the Bible every day. I haven't followed all your laws. I don't even know what they are. I need you, God. There's an emptiness in my heart. Please fill that emptiness. Change my life. Put my name in your book of life so that I can have eternal life and be in paradise with you when I leave this world. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, anybody for the first time, I think we're all believers here, except maybe for Terry, but no, just kidding. Seriously, I can't pick on Wendell, so I'm picking on Terry. Yeah, Wendell's not here to pick on, so. Anyway, no, seriously, if you prayed that prayer and you're watching at home and you didn't know Yeshua, please contact me. You can email me through the website. Our email is there. You can go to our Facebook page. We're the For Zion's Sake Ministries in Bristol, in Tennessee, in Virginia. Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia. You can just message me, and I have a free gift for you that I'd like to send you. So if you prayed that prayer and you received Yeshua, please let me know, okay? And I'm going to turn it over to you ladies. And here's the bread. And folks, I invite you to come as you are ready. And God bless you. Thank you.
Pretty tablecloth. God help me not to spill wine on it or juice. Last night I came home with a gallon of Mayfield milk and it fell out of the refrigerator. Boom. I had a soldier to help me mop it up. No, I went out and bought another gallon. Dress me up, but you can't take me out. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah and friend. Okay, we're going to bless the children, so I'm going to invite the children to come forward, and any adults that would like to gather around the kids. Well, Billy, you're getting so tall. My goodness, you have grown. You're going to be a basketball player? Catching up to Josh here. Back to back, guys. Come on, let's go back to back. Let's see. Oh, this kid is catching up. Now you and Jeff, but you're older than Josh. How old are you?
14.
You're 14? You're 10? You're really great. You're growing like a weed. Josh got his Boston Celtics sweatshirt. Show everybody your Boston Celtics sweatshirt. All right. Come gather around. Let's pray over the kids. You know. There's Big Isaac. Come. You want me to pray or are you going to? Okay, I thought you were going to play. All right, I'm going to just pray. Okay, we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the kids. Lord, nobody prayed for me when I was a kid, Lord. I wasn't raised in a Christian family. I wasn't raised in a messianic house. Nobody prayed for me, Lord. Nobody prayed for my protection. Nobody prayed for my health. Nobody prayed for my strength. Nobody prayed for me to be successful in life. Nobody prayed anything like that for me. But these kids are blessed, Lord. We've prayed for them since they've been little boys, even from out of the womb. We've prayed for these kids, some of them as they were babies. We bless them, Lord. I pray all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be upon them, Lord. I pray that you bless them coming in, bless them going out. I bind the spirit of discouragement and depression, Lord. They have the most powerful tool in the world. It's not Google. It's not the internet. It's you, Lord. They have the most powerful tool in the world at their hands, and it's you. And if I had had you when I was 14 or 13 or 15, man, what a different life I would have had. What a different life. I was so lost. But as the song says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You know, maybe there were a couple old ladies that babysat me when I was a child that prayed for me. But that was it. There was nobody else. And Lord, I made it. And here I am today, after all the pain and suffering I've been through, a rabbi and a leader, a businessman. You've made me a father and a husband. You've given me a beautiful family. And for I thank you. And I pray you do all these things for these children, Lord. Bring them into their destiny, Lord. Each one has an anointing and a calling on their life to do something special, Lord. I pray that each one accomplishes the purpose of their life, Lord. I pray that you take the spirit of discouragement off any of them and give them the oil of gladness for the spirit of heaviness, Lord. I just tell the spirit of heaviness to go in the name of Yeshua and give them the oil of gladness, the oil of joy, because they have the greatest tool, the greatest power of the universe at their fingertips, Yeshua, the Messiah. Thank you, Lord. Bless them now. They have a wonderful life ahead, and just help them in school, give them success, and all they put their hands to, those who are here and those who aren't here. We pray for all the children. May all the children who are here and not here receive the same blessings, Lord. And bless them now as they go forth. In Yeshua's name, amen. We bind the enemy. Thank you. Okay. Can I turn the bass amp off? Okay. So I was telling you about my story. So while I'm getting my stuff ready here, let me tell you the story. So about a week ago, me and the boys we wanted to go out to the beach. There's in Massachusetts, they have coastline, and so we wanted to go to the beach. We wanted to sit by the sea and eat lunch one day. So we started driving north of Boston. We didn't get too far because we started late. So we drove to north till we got to a place called Lynn, and in Massachusetts they say Lynn, the city of sin. You never come out the way you went in. It's not known to be the best place, Lynn, Massachusetts. But anyway, God bless you if you're watching from Lynn. We love you. Jesus loves you. And I got this unction to think about Engelbert Humperdinck. And I was thinking about Engelbert Humperdinck and Lynn. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I thinking about Engelbert Humperdinck? And I'm thinking, is Engelbert Humperdinck alive? And I don't even know where I don't, you know, I'm like, I don't even, I've never even heard Engelbert. I mean, I've heard him sing a couple songs, but I'm not a fan. I just occurred to me, you know, I wonder if the guy's still alive. So I'm sitting there eating my seafood and I'm looking up about Engelbert Humperdinck. Do you know that was the 10th of October? On the 14th of October, 82-year-old Engelbert Humperdinck did a concert in Lynn, Massachusetts. And my Google feed told me on the 15th that women from age 15 to 90 were screaming and going gaga over Engelbert Humperdinck, who brought the house down in Lynn, Massachusetts, about a mile from where I was, where we were, sitting at the ocean north of Boston, which was glistening with tar and corrosives. The beach was so black from tar and corrosives, it was so toxic, but still it was pretty sitting there by the ocean eating lunch. And I'm thinking about Engelbert Humperdinck. So that's my Engelbert Humperdinck story for today, and probably the last one I'll ever tell. But Anyway, so we're going to go on with the message here. Yes. She had the baby? Praise the Lord. Boy or girl? Santiago. Does that mean San Diego? I think so. San Diego. Saint Diego. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's give it up for God. Babies born during our service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We want to welcome our friends on Facebook. God bless you today. And I want to congratulate Terry and Anna Scott on the birth of their new grandchild, Santiago, down in Miami, Florida. Praise, we welcome the baby. It's always good to have another baby in the family, amen? That's new life. New life is a good sign, amen? Amen. I'm just going to wipe my glasses down here. Well, today's message is called The Single-Mindedness of Abraham. The Single-Mindedness of Abraham. And we're going to begin, if you have a Bible, in Genesis 11, 31. In Genesis 11, 31, we're going to begin our message today. So, if you want to turn there, I'm just wiping my glasses down here. And I didn't know I was so stylish when I bought these, but I guess they're very in style. So you have a stylish rabbi. Okay, Genesis 11:31. I hope my wife doesn't kill me. Oh, gosh. You know, when you're married to somebody, they help you out. Amen. That's why they call them helpmates. She helps me and I help her. Okay, so Genesis 11:31. We've passed Noah. We've come past Noah. We've come past the Tower of Babel. And actually, we're living in the days of the Tower of Babel all over again, where man is trying to reach the heavens. He's trying to get to Mars. I'm reading a book. I read just novels once in a while. I go to sleep. I'll read two pages of a novel, and it puts me to sleep. And that's, you know, I go through about one a month. You know, sometimes I read 10 pages, but the best way to go to sleep at night is not to watch TV. The best way to go to sleep at night is not to look at your cell phone an hour before you go to sleep. The best way to go to sleep is to get into bed and open a book and read a book. And I tell you, you read 2 to 10 pages of a book and you'll fall asleep. Just read two. How many of you would agree with that? Just read 2 to 10 pages of a book. Children, listen to me. Amen. And Bruce reads the Bible. Amen. And the Bible is good to read. But so I'm reading this book, and I don't know why I was telling you about it, but it deals with the end time and all the people that are prepping and preparing places of refuge. You know, you have wealthy people. People are planning. Right now, people are planning for the end of the world, and wealthy people are building bunkers, like in places like Montana and Nebraska. They're taking old missile silos that are unused, and they're converting them into bomb shelter condos, and they're doing. And you know what? I've learned from this book I'm reading. Do you know that, and I've known this for years, that the goal of NASA and the goal of the one world government, and the globalists, that's the left. They're the globalists. They're the ones who want to go to Mars. They want to go to Mars. They want to colonize space. They want to colonize Mars. They want to colonize other planets. They want to build space stations. They want to get off. But do you know why? This is what I learned from the book. I could never figure out, why do they want to go to Mars? Why do they want to colonize Mars? That is the goal of NASA. That is the goal of the Illuminati. That is the goal of the Council of Foreign Relations. That is the goal of the Bushes. That is the goal of the Obamas. That's the goal of the Clintons. That's the goal of every president, with the exception of maybe Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. I don't know about Reagan, but since you know, in modern, since man went to the moon in 1969, the goal of NASA, the purpose of NASA, is not to go to the moon. It's to colonize Mars. Okay? Bottom line, that's why NASA exists. They want to colonize Mars. Okay? Why? I found out when I read this book. I never thought of this. The people with power, the elite, the powerful, the wealthy, want to colonize because they believe that that this country's going down the chute, the world, this world is going down the chute, and they don't want to be here when the sirens go off. They don't want to just be in a bunker in Nebraska. They don't want to just be in a bunker or in a cabin in Montana. The people with the real money, the Elon Musks and the Jeff Bezos and the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, they want to be on Mars. They don't want to be on this planet when the poop hits the fan. They want to be living in another world, in another place. And they believe their money and their wealth and their power is going to get them there. And this is, I'm not crazy. This is real. But for those who don't have the money of a Jeff Bezos, who's worth $150 billion, or a Bill Gates, who's worth $100 billion, $97 billion, stock market's been going up and down. They've lost $10 billion here or there, $15 billion in a day, some of them. But they're still not hurting too bad. I'm not crying for them. But their goal of the super rich and the super elite and the super powerful is to colonize space and leave you here to duke it out and fix and figure it out. Did you know that? That's what Babel was. You read it last week in the Tower of Babel. They were trying to go to outer space. Man was trying to build a tower to the heavens, and God said, they want to be like us, and they're going to succeed. He said, because they're in unity. Because they were in unity and they had one single language and one purpose of being like God, God was concerned and said, let us go down there and scatter them and change their language and you know, confuse them. We'll call it Babel, means confusion. The word Babel is confusion. Babylon has to do with confusion. Let's confound their language, God said. We'll go down there and confound them and we'll separate them. And that's what God did. And the tower was destroyed. And it's going to happen again. The world is rebuilding Babel. And that's the battle that's going on between the left and the right now. The power struggle between our current president and the people on the left is all about Babel. The left wants to rebuild Babel. Donald Trump wants to build a wall. Okay? Wall's a lot different than a tower. Amen? Okay. So let's go on to today's message. The single-mindedness of Abraham. If you look in verse 31, it says, Terah of chapter 11, Genesis, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, Haran's son. Now, Haran was another son of Terah. Terah was the father of Abram. Everybody say Terah. He was Abram's father. And he had two sons, Nahor and Haran. Haran died. And so Terah took Abram and his son Lot he took Abraham, his son, and Lot, his great-nephew. It was Abraham's nephew. Haran's son. So Lot was Haran's son. It was the grandson, it says, of Terah. And Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. And he took them out of Ur of the Chaldeans. So I mean, he took them out of Babylon, That's Ur of the Chaldeans, is Babylonia. He took them out of Babylonia, out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And if you can look up where Ur is on your own time, it's kind of south of Babylon. It's in southern Babylonia. He took them to the land of, and to go, it says, read this. And he took them out of Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. Did you know that Abram's father wanted to go to the land of Canaan? Did you know that? How many of you knew that? Raise your hand if you knew that Abram's father intended, praise God, John. Only one person knew that Abram's father actually wanted to go to Canaan, not just Abram. Now, it says here, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. So Terah's days were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So Terah, Abram's father, wanted to go to Canaan, but he stopped short in Haran, which is northern northern Assyria, kind of northern Iraq, kind of like where, I think it would be where, kind of like where ISIS is, and the Syrian-Iraq border area up there in northern Iraq. That's kind of where Haran would be, somewhere in that area, probably a little bit to the east of Syria. Anyway, so let me just make a couple points here. Did God call Terah? We don't know. This is interesting. It's like the book of Esther. God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. We have to kind of ascertain what was God doing. Or what was she really hearing from God? Or what was Mordecai hearing? Because it doesn't tell us, right? So it doesn't tell us here that did God call Terah to go to Canaan? Why did he want to go to Canaan? You think travel in those days was harsh. What prompted Terah to go to Canaan? What stopped him? Was it God? Did he fail on his calling? Did God call him to go? It doesn't tell us. It just says that Abram's father wanted to go to Canaan, which is a long journey. It's 1,000 miles or more, maybe 1,200 miles to go from Ur of the Chaldees up. You have to go along the river. So you're following the river north up to Syria and then back down through Syria into northern Israel. You're following the river, and you can't go straight across the desert because you'll die. You have no water. So you have to follow the rivers up north, like the Tigris and Euphrates. Go along the Tigris and Euphrates, whatever, I'm not sure which one. And you get up to Haran, and then you go over west and you come down through Syria into Canaan, into Israel, the promised land. So we don't really know. Was God calling Terah to go? Did Terah miss his calling? Did Terah get called and did he miss it? Did he disobey God? So God went to Abram instead? Are you hearing me? Did Terah disobey God? Or possibly he was taking the family up north so that it make Abraham's journey a little easier, because God knew that Abraham was going to be going to Canaan and take 500-600 miles off the trip, right? Maybe that's what was going on. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. Amen? So we just have to speculate that these are possibilities. Let's read on. Genesis 12. Let's read and start there in verse 1. Then Adonai, or the Lord, said to Abram, get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. My heart's desire is to make you into a great nation, to bless you, to make your name great so that you may be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but whoever curses you, I will curse. Praise the Lord. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Amen. All right, so then it says, so Abram went just as Adonai had spoken to him.
Also, Lot went with him. Now, let's just stop here for 1 second. Did God tell him to take Lot with him? Lot was his nephew. What did God say to him? He said, get going out from your land and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. What was Lot? He was a relative, right? He was a nephew. Was he supposed to go? No. Lot wasn't supposed to go. Everybody say, Lot wasn't supposed to go. So Abraham was obedient to the calling. This is the single-mindedness of Abraham. So God spoke, number one. Abraham heard the voice of God. Number three, he didn't question God. He didn't count the cost. He just left. Turn to James 1:8. This could be the problem with his dad, why he didn't make it. Actually, start in James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all without hesitation and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Abraham heard the voice of God and he did not waver. He was not double-minded. He was single-minded. He heard God, packed up his stuff, loaded up his family, and made the mistake of taking Lot. He made a human error because we're human. Abraham was a human. We all make mistakes. But the bottom line is, he did the main thing. Everybody say he did the main thing. He did the main thing. God said, go to Canaan, and he went. Now, he made the mistake of taking Lot with him, and that later on you can read about that, and he paid a price for that, big price for taking Lot. And he paid a lot. Okay, so a man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. Even though Abram didn't question God, he also didn't listen or obey completely. He took Lot. Number six, God had grace for Abraham's mistakes because Abram did the most important thing. He went when God called him. When you do the most important thing, you know, the Bible says in the New Testament, love covers a multitude of sins, right? What's the chief commandment? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself, right? So when you love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, God, love covers a multitude of sins, right? So God, Abraham loved God, and so God was willing to forgive him for taking Lot. Okay? All right, let's read on here. So God had grace for Abram's mistakes, and he has grace for your mistakes. Amen. Let's look at Mark 10:29. This is a sort of a New Testament response or version of what Abraham did here. This is what God's speaking to all of us. Praise God. Mark 10:29. Amen, I tell you, Yeshua replied, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the sake of the good news or the gospel who will not receive 100 times as much now in this age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property along with persecutions, and in the Olam Haba, the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. To me, I think that means that people who cut the front of the line and try to get it all for themselves will be last, and people who are humble and meek and wait for everybody else to be seated at the dinner table and take the last seat, the humble people, they'll be first. The meek shall inherit the earth. Amen? But here, this is, you know, if you go back up to verse 17, it says, as Yeshua was setting out on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He says, "Why do you call me good?" Yeshua said to him, "No one is good except one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Do not cheat. Honor your father and mother." The man responded, "Teacher, all these I have kept since my youth." Looking at him, Yeshua loved him, said, "One thing you lack. Go and sell." He was a rich guy. "Go and sell as much as you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." But at this statement, the man became sad and went away grieving, for he had much property. Then looking around, Yeshua says to his disciples, "How hard it will be for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. So why is that passage in there right there? This rich man had done everything he needed to do except the one thing that God asked. Amen? He had done everything he needed to do except the one thing that God asked. What did God ask him to do? Sell all his riches and give it to the poor. Sell all his property, give his riches to the poor. Does that mean God's asking you to do it? One person said no. Amen. Amen, Diane. No. Just because God told the rich guy to sell everything and give it to the poor. I meet people all the time. I've met people who had net worths of $100,000, $200,000, who gave it, sold everything, gave it all away, ended up living on welfare, on food stamps. They gave it away thinking that God was asking them to give it all away and to follow him. That's not what God's saying here. God was using wealth because wealth was a stumbling block for a rich man. For you and me, it may be something else. You know, for a guy who's stuck in pornography, it could be pornography. God's saying, give up pornography and follow me. For a guy who's got... who's stuck with lust issues or pride or anger, God may be telling this person to get over your anger. I was reading an article about Mark Cuban and Bill Gates and one other guy, rich guy, and there's three keys that they recommend to be successful in life. And Mark Cuban said, he used to yell at his employees. He was mean. He used to yell at his employees. And Bill Gates said he was procrastinator. And the third person said, I forget who they were, that they drank too much caffeine. Where's my coffee? I don't drink too much caffeine. I used to drink Coke, but now I drink Ishmael. Cheers. I'm not sure I agree about the caffeine thing, but I will say, don't yell at your employees, don't yell at your subordinates, the people under you. That's a good habit not to do. Don't yell at your wife, don't yell at your children. Well, if you can help it, sometimes kids drive us to those things, but mostly. You know, it's better not to yell. Amen? That's going to happen. Guys, families are going to have fights. Can I get an amen? Amen. Families are going to have fights, and there is no family in this room that hasn't had a fight. There's no one who hasn't had a fight with their kids. There's no one who hasn't had a fight with their wife or their spouse. And you forgive, you get over it, you move on. Listen to me. You forgive, you get over it, you move on,
And you go, and that's it. And that's the way life is. I've had so many fights because I didn't become a believer until I was 30. My family lives on fighting. God said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. My family lives on bread and fighting. That's what they do. They love to fight. I can't make a phone call to home without, you know, I'll call just to say hello, how are you, and I get a fight. You know, I won't get into details, but, you know, and I get things thrown at me. I know there's bitterness. I, as a pastor and as a rabbi, I know somebody's carrying a grudge when they're telling me about something that happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. I had a woman one time, and she kept complaining to me for 2 years about her pastors, about her ex-husband, and she was complaining. And one day she said to me, you know, 30 years ago, they did me in. They did me wrong. This pastor, he treated me this way, and my husband did this to me. And I said, wait a second, stop. This was 30 years ago, and you're still carrying this baggage around your neck? You got unforgiveness. You got bitterness. And you know what Matthew 18 says? If you carry Matthew 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant, you can read it on your own time. I won't read it. It says, to the unforgiving servant, his master forgave him much, but he wouldn't forgive his servant. So the master said, send him off to the torturers. God will send, you'll live in torture. You won't lose your salvation. But you'll live in torture if you don't let go of bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred and resentment towards your siblings, towards your dad, towards your mama, towards your family, towards your children. If you don't forgive your neighbors, people who stabbed you in the back, business associates, if you don't forgive. Now, I'm not saying go out and have a steak dinner. I'm not saying take them to Outback and buy him a center cut sirloin. I'm saying go to your brother and try to make peace. And if that doesn't work, bring somebody else. And if that doesn't work, you know, give it up and pray for them. Amen? Because, you know, some people just aren't going to forgive you. They're not going to, just because you've reached a point where you're not going to hold bitterness and grudges, and you have peace with God, doesn't mean the person that hates your guts that you're fighting with or fought with 30 years ago is ready to let go. And if they're not ready to let go and you call them, you know what's going to happen? Hornets are going to start flying around. And you're just going to stir up a hornet's nest. So it's better to stay away from somebody that has a bitterness against you. It's better to stay away. Keep a distance. Pray for them. Ask God to forgive you. He'll forgive you. You tried. You reached out to them. Didn't work. Okay. Move on. All right. So there's a lesson here in Genesis 12. Mark 10:29, we read. Let's read on again. Let's read it again. There is no one who has left house, brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property. Wow. Children. Property, mother, wives, even it says, for my sake and for the sake of the gospel. That's what the apostles did. They left their wives behind, some of them. They left their children to go follow Yeshua for the gospel, who will not receive 100 times as much now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and property, along with persecutions. And in the Olam Haba, we say Olam Haba, eternal life, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Would you be willing to do what Abram did? Has God called you out of your Ur of the Chaldees? Would you be willing, if God spoke to you and said, pack up your stuff, John, pack up your bags, pack up your stuff, leave your relatives behind, sell your belongings and follow me and go 1,200 miles to where I send you. Amen? and start a new life and just do it, and I'll show you what to do when you get there. How many of us, raise your hand if you would do that. If God spoke to you, raise your hand if you would leave it all behind. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. There's a reason the rich young man's story is in here. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't give up the wealth. That's why it says it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? That's why they're building homes, trying to build homes on Mars. When God calls you, He gives you a certain grace. When God called Abram, Abraham had a certain amount of grace period to go. I've seen this before. Many people waver and make excuses, like the rich man or the banquet guests who were invited to the banquet, and they gave excuses. In Luke 14, they gave excuses. So the master sent his servants out and said, go out to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Amen? Amen? In 22 years of ministry, I've heard numerous people tell me, God is calling me to come here or wherever, but they fail to answer the calling. One man confessed that God had been calling him here for years, but apart from visiting here a few times, he disobeyed that calling that he told me. I didn't tell him. He told me God's called me to come here and be joined here, and he never did it. And his son was raised in a Baptist church and Christian school, became a Catholic, and it's eaten him up. His son was raised in a Baptist faith, went to Christian school, and became a Catholic, and it's eaten this man up. Maybe he should have come. Maybe if he'd obeyed God instead of Catholicism, his son would have come back to the real root. Because the root isn't Rome, it's Jerusalem. I don't know. I can't answer that question. But there is a penalty for disobedience. When God calls you and you disobey God, there's a penalty. Number three, one family actually sold their house and quit their lucrative jobs to come here and serve with me and Don, but they left too soon. They didn't finish the assignment. And you know, I met with this family and I had dinner with them, and we met and we prayed and we fasted and we prayed and we had dinner and we talked, and they came. And then they left, and God didn't tell me it was time to leave. Well, if I'm the shepherd, shouldn't I hear from God that it's time to leave? Shouldn't we be in agreement? Do you think? Should we be in agreement? If somebody sells their house, gives up their job, moves here to be served with us, and then leaves early and leaves just on their own, well, we'll read on and find out whether I'm right or I'm wrong, okay? Another gal sold her house. She sold her house. These people actually tithed $15,000, $20,000 to this ministry, and they sold their homes, and they spoke with, and she spoke with her pastor. This is what I told her. She said to me, Rabbi Joe, she said, I feel called to come and be a part of this ministry. I said, this is what I always tell people. Anybody who tells me they're called, I said, go to your pastor, if you have one, or your rabbi. Meet with them. Tell them, rabbi, pastor, whoever, I'm feeling called to go be with Rabbi Joe, and I'm feeling God's calling me there. I like your blessing. I'd like you to pray with me. I always tell people, you know, and some folks I don't know that well. Some folks are new, and I don't know what your background is. I haven't gotten to know you well enough yet to talk to you, so I don't know what your connection. I don't know if you're a member of a church, you know what I'm saying? But if you're feeling called here, I'll say that to you now. If you're coming here and you go to a church and you feel God's calling you here, I encourage you to pray before you go to your pastor. Pray for a good talk. Then go tell your pastor, I'm feeling called to go join this Messianic synagogue. Be prepared for him to say they're a bunch of Judaizers and they're a bunch of legalists. I want to ask you a question. Am I a Judaizer and a legalist? Thank you. Okay, so I've been accused of all sorts of things. All right, and you're going to hear that. You go tell your pastor. If God's calling you from a church and you're a member somewhere and he's calling you to come join this place and you go and talk to your pastor, be prepared for your pastor to say, oh, they're a bunch of Judaizers and legalists. And you know it's not true. But you have to remember that. Amen? But I'm telling you, and no pastor, very few pastors will tell you this, that if God calls you out to go somewhere, to go see the pastor first, they'll just take you. You just walk up. They'll say, come up the aisle. Who wants to join the church today? Come up the aisle. Stand there and join the church. Amen? Am I right? They don't question where you came from. They don't question what covenant you made. They don't question where you're a member. They just say, we come from this church somewhere, and we want to join this church. Okay? Stand there, we make you a member. I don't do that. I tell people, sit for six, go through a feast cycle. You've been through fall feasts. Now we got Hanukkah coming. Then we have Passover. Go through three or four feasts. Then come and tell me, Rabbi Joe, I want to join this. I want to sojourn. The word I like is sojourn with you. I want to become a sojourner here. Amen. And I'll encourage you to go see your pastor just like I did. And I do. But pray. Because your pastor's not going to want to give you up because he doesn't want to lose the tithe. Got real quiet in here, but an amen would have been good there. Amen. Hebrews 12. So let me just finish this here. So this woman moved. She sold her house and everything. She didn't make it. She didn't finish. She didn't stay. She got offended. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I am not perfect. And in my younger years, I'm still young, but I'm not the young man I was. My dad says, people say, Aaron, Mr. Bell, how you doing? He'd say, 20 years ago, I was better. People ask me how I'm doing, I'll say, 20 years ago, I was better. Okay? But 20 years ago, I was a wild ass of a man. I was 32 years old, and I had a temper 20 years ago. Okay? I'm being honest with you. And most every 32-year-old guy is like that. They're independent-minded, they're stubborn, they're stiff-necked, they're wild, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And if it's a preacher, he's going to preach what he's going to preach. And if he runs the people off, he doesn't care. Remember Solomon's son, Rehoboam? He taxed the people, and he asked for counsel from the young guys. And the young guys said, I don't want to tell you I can tell you the Bible said. He said, my thumb or my pinky's bigger than my father's manhood, when they questioned him on it. You can go back and read that in 1 Kings 12. And the young men, when the people said, don't tax us, please be easy on us. And they begged the new king to go easy. He said, your father taxed us heavily. Please go easy on us. He said, well, I'm going to tax you harder. And what they did, they broke off and they started the northern kingdom and 10 tribes went north. Young men can be wild donkeys of men. Amen? Young men, we can be wild in our youth. We calm down, we temper our hormones. I don't take Nugenics. I don't take any of that stuff. I do take something for my metabolism to help me. It helps me lose weight. And if you want to know what it is, it's all natural. It's to get it at the health food store. If anybody's looking to lose weight, it helped me lose 15 pounds this summer, which going and eating my mother's cooking didn't help me keep the 15 pounds off. But the stuff really works, and it's all natural. It's good. It's from the health food store. It's probiotic. It's good stuff, and it boosts your metabolism. And I actually lost weight. And I still exercise 5-6 days a week, but I can't lose weight exercising. But when I started taking this probiotic blend, it actually, my metabolism picked up. So if you want to find out about it, come and see me. Anyway, I'm not trying to sell you something either. I don't make any money. It's just, it's at the health food store. Okay. All right. So anyway, so this woman came. She got offended. She sold her house. She left her job. She moved down here. And she got offended with me, and we had an argument, the two of us. Something I said ticked her off, and you know, we got into it with each other. Not heavy, you know. And we love each other. She came to Passover. We're friends again. She doesn't come anymore, but we're friends. We made peace. We smoothed it over. Amen. But I'll confess, you know, I in my earlier days, I was much more prone, if there's a relationship is a two-way street. Oh, I'm preaching. Relationship is a two-way street. If you think you're the one, that you're right and the other person is wrong, you better look in the mirror. Here's the mirror. You know, here's the mirror. Look in the mirror. If you think you're right and the other guy's wrong, look in the mirror, because relationship is a two-way street. Amen? All right. So this woman got offended and she left. Well, offense, I'm going to tell you something. Reasons never to leave. Never quit in anger. You got to write this down. Never quit in anger. Never leave offended. And never leave because you judge the man of God because of something he said, or you didn't like his message, and you justify that as your reason to break your the place that God covenant where God called you to go. Okay? If you live by that, you'll survive anything. You can't get rid of your family. You know, how many? I've gone through so many fights with my siblings and my family, you know, in my life. I've been through so many fights. That's the way we grew up, fighting. I was born into a family that liked to fight. When I was 4 years old, I can remember hiding under the bed when my dad was calling my brother a moron and other things. My brother was 16 years older than me. He was 20 and I was 4. I was terrified. Well, they were screaming at each other, and he's calling my brother, who flunked out of 2 colleges, a moron, a jerk. And you know what happened? My brother became all those things because my dad spoke it over him. Parents who have cursed your children, repent. Parents who have cursed your children, repent. If your family life isn't going well, realize, look... Look in the mirror. Amen? Look in the mirror. If you've cursed your children and they're not growing up the way you'd like them to, maybe you're part of the picture. You know? Amen? But with that said, kids have hormones. And they have hormones, and hormones are raging, and emotions, and you know... all kinds of things going on as kids become grow into adulthood, you know. So it's not just family relationships. Teenage years are tough years, aren't they? Yeah. Amen. So this woman got offended, so she left. She sold her house. She got offended with me. But you know what? These families that sold their houses came here, and they didn't finish the calling. They didn't run the race with patience, with endurance, looking to Yeshua, the author and finisher of their faith. They ran away. I know they ran away because I know what running away is. And they ran away. But God blessed them anyway because they made that initial step when God called them out of Ur of the Chaldees like Abram. And they sold their house and they left their job. And they came for a year, two, three, four, 5 years. God blessed them. I'm not talking to anybody in this room specifically. I'm really not. If it's speaking to you, God bless you. This is just what God put on my heart to talk about today. Okay? This is not directed at anybody specifically here in this room. This was just my planned message. All right? So God bless these folks. Materially, they're all doing well. They gave up homes and stuff. What does God say in John 10:29? There is no one who has left home, family, brothers and sisters, wives, children, mothers, lands, farms, for my sake or the sake of the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold, materially, brothers and sisters, family, houses, lands, farms, in this age, and persecutions, and eternal life in the age to come. So if you sell your house and you sell your belongings and you move to be with a ministry or with a church or a synagogue and you do it, God's going to honor his word and he's going to bless you 100-fold. God's blessed these people. They're prospering in a worldly sense. But because they didn't finish their calling, my question is, are they prospering in a spiritual sense? Because they didn't run the race with endurance, looking to Yeshua, the author and finisher of their faith. Because they quit or got offended or had greed. They got the worldly stuff that God says in Mark 10:29, but did they get the spiritual prize? We'll find out when we get to heaven. Amen? People, you need to finish the race. Far too many stop short. You need to finish the race. And I don't know what that is for you. I don't know what God is calling you to do. I don't know. I had a 4-year-old girl get in my lap 19 years ago in North Carolina. 100 kids lined up to get to pray to receive the Lord. I did a message at a tent revival for poor kids. It was a youth camp. There were 300 kids there, and I had a big easy chair, a big wing chair, and I asked the church to bring out a chair, and my message was, suffer not the little children to come unto me. I preached the message. I sat in the chair. I gave an invitation. The kids lined up. Over 100 kids sat in my lap, one at a time, and prayed to receive the Lord with me. 3 years ago, the father of one of those children, who's a pastor of a very large church now in North Carolina, in Hickory area, called me and said, Rabbi Joe, my daughter, you may not know this, but my daughter sat in your lap that night. She was 4 years old, and she prayed to receive the Lord, and she's been following the Lord ever since. Not only that, you prophesied over her that she would be a missionary to Africa. She's a missionary to Africa today. And she's a New England Patriots fan. Wow. What more could you ask for? Praise God. She even, you know, God even transferred that from me. Wow. I mean, you know, you don't often get to hear it. No, I'm just kidding about the Patriots thing is true. She is a fan. But you don't get to hear about when a 4-year-old sits in your lap 20 years ago, you don't often hear about it. Sometimes God shows you the fruit. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's move on here. People, you need to finish the race. I've seen several run off and start their own ministries. How can you tell if a ministry is true? How can you tell if a ministry is true? Well, number one, the leader will be sent and called. Remember I said this earlier on. I talked about that. I said I was going to answer this question. How can you tell if a ministry is true? The leader will be sent. Who God sent Abram and called, just like Abram. The calling will be affirmed by bona fide leaders and counselors who know the person. Okay, in Abraham's time, Abraham was a patriarch, right? I'm not Abraham. Are you Abraham? No. He's the father of faith, right? He's the perhaps the greatest patriarch that ever lived. Amen? Before Yeshua, besides Yeshua. Abraham is, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The father of the patriarchs, the father of the 12 tribes, is Abram. Amen? We all agree on that? God spoke directly to Abram. He didn't have a council. He didn't have a board of elders. God dealt directly with Abram. God dealt directly with Moses. That's not how God deals mostly with people today. And I'm going to read on and we'll find out, okay? The calling today will be affirmed by bona fide leaders and counselors, board members, board of directors, pastors, rabbis. If God calls somebody, leaders are going to affirm it. Whether it be someone in the Church of God is called to be a pastor or be a missionary, whether it's in the Baptist church, somebody's going to affirm it. You don't just go in the Southern Baptist, you don't just say, I'm going to be a missionary to Ethiopia and go to Ethiopia and expect the Southern Baptist to support you. You have to go through their hoops. Do you understand? Okay. Let's look at in Acts, let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 6:6. You enjoying this?
Absolutely.
Amen. Acts 6:6, and I don't have a whole lot more to go. Only 5 pages. Acts 6:6. The statement pleased the whole group. Okay, so the disciples were running a bagel shop, and they decided, you know, it's not right for us as the apostles. You know, we shouldn't be feeding the widows. We should be out preaching the gospel. So they decided it would be wise to select from among them, verse 3, 7 reputable men full of the Spirit and wisdom whom they may put in charge of this duty. But we will devote ourselves, the apostle said, to prayer and to service of the word. The statement pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Ruach HaKodesh, and Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, and a proselyte from Antioch, a Gentile. They placed these men before the emissaries, the apostles, and after praying, they laid hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem greatly multiplied. So they replaced themselves in that by laying of hands and prayer. Amen? Let's turn to Acts chapter 13, please. Okay, Acts 13. Acts 13:3. Okay, well, start in 1. Now in Antioch, the community there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, which is Shimon in Hebrew, called Niger, Lucius and the Cyrenian, Manaen, brought up since childhood with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were serving the Lord and fasting, the Ruach HaKodesh, which means the Holy Spirit in Hebrew, the Ruach HaKodesh said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying and laying hands on them, they sent them off. So sent out by the Ruach HaKodesh, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. They also had John as a helper. I'm going to stop there. So God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit said to the apostles there, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. But they didn't just set them apart. They went to praying and fasting. Why? Because you should always seek a confirmation. When God gives you a word, don't just run off. God says, go out and buy a Porsche. Go out and open a pizza place. Don't just go out and open a pizza place. If you hear a word and you think it's from God, open a pizza place. Get a confirmation from someone you respect. Get 2 confirmations. Pray, God, confirm it to me. And from someone of good reputation. don't get it from some vagrant walking down the street. Should I open a pizza place? Yeah. You know, have somebody pray with you, someone you respect, someone you admire, someone who you know is a man or woman of God, and or your wife, whatever. Get a confirmation. Amen. So that's what they did, and they prayed and fasted, they laid hands, and they sent them off. That is the New Testament biblical way of making a leader. Not quitting, not being offended and running off and starting a ministry, not getting angry at the leader, not getting ticked off, not bolting out the door and saying, I'm never coming back. Is that what it says to do? It's not what it says. So if you ever feel that coming on, before you say these words, I quit, go home. Take a few days. Chill out. Cool off. Pray about it. And then when you're chilled out, come and talk to me or whoever the pastor is. Amen. That's the way to do it. Do it peaceably. Make sure it's God. Okay. So we're talking about who is really sent. Abram was sent. Who else? Who is really sent today? Laying of hands, fasting, prayer. A genuine leader will be under the covering of a recognized authority. Paul sought Peter and the apostles after he was ready to begin his ministry. He went to meet Peter. He always went back to the Jerusalem council. He always went back to the apostles to let them know what he was doing, to report back, to get their affirmation, their prayer. Then he'd go back out on his mission trips. Amen? Paul was a man under authority. He kept going back to the apostles. Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders. Let's turn the page to Acts 14:23. When they had handpicked elders for them in every community, okay, let's go back to 22. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to persevere in the faith, and saying, it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. So they had started all these congregations. It says in verse 23, when they had handpicked elders for them, this is Paul and Barnabas, in every community, in every congregation, every church, and prayed with fasting, they placed them in the care of the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Paul and Barnabas were the ones that picked the elders, that prayed and fasted and sent them and raised them up to be the leaders. Do you see that? People didn't just go out there and start a ministry and say, I'm Pastor so-and-so. Go on the internet and you can buy an ordination for probably $25, $50. You can get yourself an ordination. They'll send you a little card. Maybe put your picture on it. Apostle Teddy, Apostle Sue, Bishop Jennifer, whatever you want, you can buy it on the internet. It's all for sale. Okay? It's baloney. It's hogwash. And there's a lot of people in this town with that kind of ordination. God didn't send him here. I wouldn't be here if God didn't send me here because I didn't know this was here. Okay? That's how I really know I'm sent, because I didn't know you were here. I lived in Boston. This is flyover country. To me, growing up, there was Boston, there was Fort Lauderdale and Miami, there was Sarasota and Longboat Key, there was L.A., Dallas, Chicago. That's pretty much it. New York City and Connecticut. New England, yeah. God has broadened my horizons. And I'm thankful to be in the promised land, the American promised land. As for, I got here as quick as I could. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent? When people tell me, oh my gosh, God sent me. Who sent you? God sent me. Who's your covering? God is my covering. I don't walk, I run. You should too. When somebody tells you that their covering is God and that their authority is God. No, Moses' authority was God. Jesus' authority was God, the Father. Abraham's authority was God. But any pastor or preacher or rabbi out there today should be under the authority of a recognized body. I'm a member of the IAMCS. You can look it up. I as in Illinois, A is in Adam, M is in Mark, C is in congregation, S is in Sam.org. I was ordained. I studied. I took my courses, 3-4 years of seminary work through them. I was ordained an associate rabbi back in 2003. I became a full rabbi after studying in 2007. And I was sent out, and I'm licensed by the state of Tennessee, and I can perform weddings in Virginia, and I can perform weddings. I'm licensed in the United States. Weddings, funerals. A guy asked me if I would perform a divorce. I said, I marry and I bury, Fred, but I don't do divorces. So, all right, conclusion. Answering the call of God will require great sacrifice. You must lay down your life for the gospel. This can mean family, home, career, riches. My wife gave up a job as she'd have been a captain on a 747 by now in 1997 when she quit the airlines. She gave up. We gave up a very comfortable life. I was a sales manager. She was a pilot for big. She would be Delta now. She'd be a captain on a big plane. She was flying to Amsterdam and London and Hawaii. She was flying the big jets. She'd be a captain, and we'd be having a nice life. We'd probably have 2 or 3 homes. But we gave it up to answer the call of God sent us here. But we didn't just come here. We called our pastors, and we told them, we prayed and fasted. And God told me to come, but I didn't just come because God said to come. My wife heard from God. I called our pastors and we said, pray with us. Her pastors became my pastors because I didn't, and they took an interest in me back then, 20 years ago. And they prayed for me. And I prayed with them. And they said, it bears witness. Come on down, get started, start your ministry with us. With that invitation, we accepted and we came. And we've been here ever since. Amen? We've grown. We've shrunk. We've shrunk. We've grown. We've shrunk and grown. Grown and shrunk. We've aged. Some have died. Some have been born. Married. Buried. No divorces. One divorce, but I didn't do it. All right, answering the call of God will require great sacrifice. You must lay down your life for the gospel. This can mean family, home. I left my family. I left my home. My wife, we left our jobs. She left a bigger job than me, much bigger. Riches, where you live. Mark 10:29. I can promise God will bless those who obey. You can tell if a calling is genuine if God confirms it and makes a way, like a new job. In other words, if God calls you to give up a job, he usually opens a door for something new. I know a guy who was a pastor in North Carolina, and so a door opened for him to pastor a church in Colorado. So he moved his family, and life is better in Colorado because he was having strife with his grandfather, and his father was the senior pastor of the church. And when his father died, the mantle got thrown to him, and he wasn't even walking with the Lord. And they made him the pastor, and he wasn't even walking with the Lord. And his uncles tried to ambush him, and his grandfather disagreed with him, and there was strife. It was terrible. And God opened a door and said, "Son, here's a church out there in Colorado." And he left. He went to Colorado. And I think it was a great idea. Amen. So you can tell if calling is genuine, if God confirms it and makes a way, like a new job, your home or your home sells, and God provides a new place for you and a new life. You can tell if a leader is genuine if they have been sent out. Abram was the patriarch, but the rest of us should have a covering. Besides God, we should be ordained with laying of hands, prayer, and fasting. Beware of self-proclaimed leaders who say, "God is my covering," or people who bought their ordination on the internet. You should always ask them. Don't be shy. Ask them, "Who's your covering? Where did you get your ordination?" Don't be shy to ask. I follow no man, Paul even said, beware of people who say, "I follow no man." Paul even said, "Follow me," he said, "as I follow Messiah." Paul said that, "Follow me as I follow Messiah." The man with the most faith in the Bible was a man under authority and a recognized leader of men. The man, the Roman centurion of Luke 7, was the man with the most faith in the Bible, Yeshua said, in all Israel. In all Israel. He was a Roman centurion, and he was a man under authority. You read it. He's under authority. He had a covering. Okay? Finally, a warning. I once knew a couple who were active in our ministry but lived in another state. I felt strongly that God was calling them here. One day, the pond behind their house, this was many, 20 years ago. One day, the pond behind their house drained out. They had a pond. Big pond. You ever seen Middlebrook, Lake Middlebrook? It's about the size of Lake Middlebrook. Okay? It just disappeared. It's like a sinkhole opened up and swallowed the water. And the pond dried up. And God, I believe God spoke to me and reminded me of Elijah and how the brook dried up and God was moving him to leave to another place. Remember, the brook dried up, the crows were feeding Elijah meat and he was getting water from the brook. And then the brook dried up and God sent him to the woman up in Tyre and Sidon, the woman who was on her last legs with oil and flour. And he multiplied the flour and oil for her. Remember that? And so God moved Elijah because the brook dried up. So when the pond dried up behind their house, I felt God was saying they had been really connecting with our ministry, and I felt a very strong calling on them to come and serve with us in worship ministry. But they... And I said it to them. They were adamant. They weren't gonna budge. And they never had a fruitful ministry. He died. They never produced. They never became worship leaders anywhere. Nothing. They just not all their any aspiration of fruitful ministry, of following God's ministry, and really, they could have done so much. Just never happened. And I believe I was right. That was God's way of saying to move on. But this couple wouldn't listen. Eventually, the husband died, and they were never really effective for his kingdom. But they really could have done so much. If you say you're called, and you should seek counsel from godly authority, get a green light, and then run, don't walk. I rented out my home, and I sold it 5 years later to come here. I rented out my home. I didn't sell it. I rented it and moved, came here to follow the call of my life. It was difficult. It was thrilling. It was painful. It was fruitful. And I would do it again. Be single-minded, brothers and sisters. A man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'ir Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat shalom. God bless you. Greet one another. Welcome one another. And come and see me if you want to worship later on. Come and see me, and we'll talk about it. Thank you all. And if somebody could turn off the Facebook, God bless you folks on Facebook. We love you.